Hey, this is Keith. Or some actor playing Keith, I'm not really sure anymore. But we're coming to the end of my Los Angeles con spree. But before I leave, I have some scores to set and discover a couple truths to be revealed. It's all going to come down to the season finale of Rideshare Episode X. It's going to drop on December 3rd. Now, until then, I want you to catch up by binge listening the first season. And I suggest that you do exactly as I say. Or you're going to miss all the fun.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Yeah, I'm Flint Dilley, and you're listening to Knowing is Half the Podcast. I mean, it's really Knowing is Half the Battle, and I don't know why they put this pod. We didn't have podcasts in the 80s. I don't know what they're doing with that. But anyway, that's what you're listening to.
He never gives up. He'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare. G.I. Joe.
Welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. Guys, this is the final five episodes of main G.I. Joe.
It's the final countdown.
Made my lips vibrate. Now it hurts.
Ray, you are not strong enough for this world.
I cannot believe it has not taken me yet.
I don't think you're ready for this jelly. Like, literally, I do not think you can handle jelly.
There's way too much flavor involved. It's unpleasant.
What is this? What did I watch? In the Cobra's Pit.
This is The Revenge of Cobra. This is the second miniseries that came in 1984.
So basically it's like the last miniseries that we watched were the first five episodes.
The first five episodes of New G.I. Joe.
Five episodes.
They released one movie, one movie in 83, one movie in 84, and then the Pyramid of Darkness in 85, followed by the first 50-odd episodes of G.I. Joe.
Got it. So this is our first introduction to the likes of Zartan and the crew.
Correct. Zartan.
I figured.
Yep. Well, you've just seen the Mass Device series, which is all that existed before this point.
Great.
So they added a ton of new characters. Roadblock's new. You know, Zartan's new. Tons and tons of new people.
Yeah. Got it.
And it's cool. Storm Shadow was new, I believe. I don't think he was in the first one either. But anyway, this is the best intro of all the intros outside of G.I. Joe the movie. Can I say now, I thought there was more zip to it. I thought the characters were more heroic in the things that they were doing.
Huh.
I really like it. As I was watching it, it struck me that this is just a better intro.
There was a bunch of punching and motorcycles. That's all I got.
Mm-hmm,
but all of it was awesome. I don't know. You guys
exactly
know
what Ray likes.
Yes. You know, I'm gonna ask this question on the Facebook page when this goes up. What was the best intro to the answer?
I feel
is
like you need to post links to each of them though, because I'm too lazy to go searching.
The thing is, the answer is G.I. Joe the movie, which had by far the best intro song ever. It's extended. It's long. It's dark. It still gives me goosebumps when I hear it because it's like scary.
This one
it's
does
great.
Not say Cobra and Destro.
No, they've already gotten away from that.
Yeah.
And to my thought last week, I wonder how they're going to reintroduce Cobra again, since Cobra Commander and everyone were like captured. The answer is they're just back out again. It's like Adam West Batman. It's like Joker's out of jail again. It's just doing his thing.
Yeah. But
there's
also
no explanation.
I mean, like spoiler, they get him in this episode too. So at some point they were like, guys, this isn't sustainable.
Yeah.
If we have him captured in every episode, that's not sustainable. There's a reason Inspector Gadget never gets Dr. Claw.
He never comes close to Dr. Claw.
Yeah. I mean, he does get close, but then he like shoots himself out of thing. And
it's all part of the G.I. Joe industrial complex. They get funding to capture Cobra Commander. They capture him. They let him go. They capture him again. We need more money to keep him in this time.
They could cure cancer, but they get paid to not cure cancer.
Yeah. It's like they have light bulbs that last forever, but they didn't want the light bulb industry to go out of
there
business.
It is.
Big light bulb.
Big Cobra. So we open up with a desert highway. It's always like, where are we going to go here? So I just appreciate that right out the bat, Yo Joe Convoy Ho.
Looks like we got us a convoy. I was somehow waiting for
it. He was heading for hell, and the devil was Dirty Lyle.
Know the words.
We got a great big convoy. Ain't she a beautiful sight?
Convoy.
I only know because of Simpsons.
Oh, there you go. So the thing is, I pictured like, was it Duke or Flint who shouts, Yo-Jo, convoy ho? I think it was
Duke. Yeah.
And I just appreciated, like, this is like a 12-hour drive, and I appreciate Duke just like never stops trying to rally the troops the whole way through.
Like every hour in?
No, I'm thinking like every 5 minutes
oh,
or so.
Really?
He's trying to like do like marching chance, and he's just because ostensibly they've been driving
bottles of beer on the wall.
Yeah.
99 bottles of beer.
Here's the thing, when Cobra attacks, everybody's ready for it, so whatever the fuck Duke is doing,
you know what,
he's doing it right.
I take it all back. Leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I how often do you think they make bathroom stops on this trip?
I think you got to wear the bottle with the tube on your wee wee.
Got a bunch of empty 2-liter bottles at the beginning of that trip.
Ugh.
Bunch,
I mean,
of
you don't
full ones
stop.
At the end.
This is, you're carrying, what is it, the important, what's the name of the device?
Laser core.
Laser core, yeah. You're going to have the important laser core. You can't
sounds
stop
like
to
a,
pee.
Sounds like a hot new workout.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, what was the guy's, the gazelle guy, Tony?
Oh, Tony,
oh my gosh.
Yeah,
Tony
the
Little.
Mullet.
Tony Little.
Yeah.
Tony Little's laser core.
I would do an exercise called laser core. I feel like it lasers the fat away from your core if you do plank for like 5 minutes a day or something.
No, I was going to say, I think it's one of those devices you wear around your gut and
oh,
you watch
like a,
TV.
Like
and
a
it
Bruce
like,
Lee thing?
And it like zaps you?
Like a Bruce Lee type thing?
You know what? There is no laser core. There is a core laser by Laser Gym.
Okay. So do you guys there were Flint's like first quote of the show. Like, we're introduced to Flint through this moment because he, in the first scene, spoiler alert, becomes the de facto leader of G.I. Joe immediately after you meet him.
I mean, I do feel like he is the type of character that you design after you've like taken a shot at designing your first character. Like, I feel like Duke is a very typical like first character. You're like, yeah, he should be bold. And brave. And handsome.
6'2" and eyes of blue.
With Flint, you're like, ooh, I want him to be a little rougher around the edges.
Yeah.
That's why I like Flint.
Everybody likes Flint.
Okay.
Well, the nice thing is,
but I'm gonna
both those motherfuckers get taken out like 6 minutes in.
Yeah.
Boom, Scarlet's up next.
I mean, here's the thing. There is a scene in this episode, again, spoiler alert, where is it Flint and Snake Eyes or Duke and Snake Eyes?
Duke and Snake Eyes.
Duke and Snake Eyes get taken out by some red shirts.
They do, yeah. Well, but before we even get there, do you have the sound poll? Because I really do appreciate this.
What did you scratch my back? What the fuck?
A pair of scissors?
I don't have a back scratcher here.
Okay, fair enough.
You have hands, don't you?
My hands don't reach that part of the back. That's why they have back scratchers.
What? My hands can reach every part of my back. Is that not how hands work?
I can't reach anybody.
What?
I can't. I can get here, and that's it.
There is something wrong with you people.
Yeah, I'm old.
We're old.
Old and unflexible, Gina. What don't you get about that?
I know that this is a bit, but I like that this is a bit that dudes do to girls with big titties, but I can legitimately touch my elbows behind my back.
I'm not going to make you do it.
I don't think that's a thing.
Yes, it is. Yes,
that is
it
a,
is.
That is a thing you did in high school.
Yeah, no, that I remember.
In high school.
But I did not realize that was, I don't think that's a thing that you can physically do. You should be able to do. Unless you're double jointed.
I think
you are a good 8 inches away
but
from doing
if
it.
If someone pulled them, I could do it. Like, I used to be able to do it without being pulled.
If I was being tortured.
I could totally do the splits.
No!
Just here, hand me a butcher knife.
No,
I got this.
You cannot do it causes me no harm. You can, like, if I'm just saying, I can pull my arms behind my back and touch my elbows and leave it there and interlink my arms.
And leave it there and interlink your arms?
Like, and leave it there, like, it's not hurting me.
I don't think she's telling the truth right
yeah.
now.
This is
Ray,
not sound,
get behind
this is
me.
Not, no.
I'm not going
get
to do this.
No.
Not going to do this.
No.
Not,
Ray?
Not doing this. No. Nope.
I'm going to fucking punch
Let's
you.
Let's move on.
To quote,
I'm gonna,
to quote Mad Max, you see that? That's bait.
It is not.
Do you have the sound pull of Flint's like big first line? Because it brought joy to me because I don't know, it just did.
Remember, a cobra's a snake, and snake is sneak spelled sideways.
Hell yeah, Flint.
That doesn't check out.
It checks out completely.
I don't think that doesn't make
weird.
Any sense.
Well, this is how you know he's not Duke.
somehow. Also, does sideways mean backwards?
Well, spelling it okay. So
I think you're distracting from the main issue, which is that fucking Cobra Commander's got lapels when he gets on that glider.
Wait, does he?
Like, you don't really notice it when he's normally just kind of standing around. But this is like a dress uniform, and he's out there in the goddamn field.
This is why he's
on
a great leader.
Glider.
Yeah,
I just like the showmanship of when he's like sounding off. He's like, you go, and it's like one dude's inside a fucking mountain, another guy's inside a tree stump that comes out. Like, he really made nature work for him.
Yeah, I went through a series of emotions watching this because my very first thought when the attack starts is, are you fucking kidding me? This is a tank convoy, and you're attacking it with Fang gliders.
Scrap iron is inside a mountain that twists. I don't know how that works.
And then Firefly is like in like a trouble inside bubble in a tree that opens up. And like every piece of this plan that develops after the gliders, I'm like, this plan is fantastic.
Yeah,
even the gliders.
Great.
Even the gliders. I put in all caps, those motherfucking gliders are blowing up copters. Like full on armored helicopters. Yeah. They're taking them out. These gliders. Not even the gliders, like the big metal gliders, just like fucking hang gliding gliders.
Yeah, because you got the Fang gliders, you've got just the glider gliders.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, yeah, G.I. Joe does rip some of them down. Like Lady J right now, your introduction to Lady J is here as well. And she is goddamn amazing.
Wait, what?
Lady J is driving the car. Mm-hmm. She basically has one foot on the gas, second foot steering, and then throws the javelin, takes out three gliders with it. Mm-hmm. It was hot. It was awesome.
I have to say, with the guys, it's easy to determine like who I would want to be between Duke and Flint. I would definitely want to be Flint. With the chicks, I was thinking of this today. I was like, both Lady J and Scarlet are pretty badass because Lady J is cooler, but Scarlet knows karate.
Scarlet is a black belt, yeah.
Yeah, like that's pretty dope. And plus, I don't want to carry around big sticks.
Lady J does not know karate, but she knows crazy. And that's the important thing.
Lady J is a mime, lest we forget.
Oh, yeah.
that moment just happened. I was just like, she's Furiosa. Like, mm-hmm. She's the baddest ass on the planet. And this is in between two lines, I went, my notes go from glider attack, what, that's stupid, to Cobra's crushing it. This plan is amazing. Like, Cobra Commander is out there leading the charge. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a G-man. So here we go. So we get to the end of the battle scene. Duke and Snake Eyes both get captured by Cobra, by scrub dudes. Like, you said before, these are like red shirts. But it's a lot of red shirts, don't get me wrong. Like, he beats ass on six dudes in a row before, like, five dudes jump on him. So that's the G.I. Joe way.
Wait, so this must be a different moment, because I have this much later on. Duke let himself get beat by four foot soldiers.
It happens twice, because he first off gets captured on top of the truck and thrown in the thing. Then as soon as they get out, when they get to the Cobra Temple, he beats ass on dudes again.
Yeah.
And then gets beat up again.
I was not impressed, especially from Snake Eyes.
All right, now hold on. They are fighting on top of a truck like this is Fury Road or some shit.
Yeah, so I mostly was disappointed in them later when it was Duke and Snake Eyes, and it's 2 against 8.
Yeah.
But they're all just lowly blue shirts.
And Snake Eyes steals the guy's gun in 1 second.
Does he?
Yeah, he kicks the guy, grabs his gun immediately, and starts shooting at people. But on the flip side of things, Cobra Commander is captured by, was it Roadblock?
Yeah.
Gung-Ho. Gung-Ho catches
him. Romantic fashion.
It was very, very tender.
Like, hey, big feller.
And did you notice they said they're sending him to Blackwater Prison?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Are they going to waterboard him? He's already got the cloth over his face. Mm-hmm. I think they just pull it taut and then, waterboard him.
100%. That's what's going on here.
Yeah.
When they said Blackwater, I was like, what?
Yeah. Blackwater, okay. Where we waterboard you with your own face mask. That's why he changed to metal.
Don't blame him.
Yeah. You can't waterboard that out.
Yeah, you can't waterboard a guy with a metal face.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's why Destro keeps his helmet on too. It just makes sense. And the laser core gets stolen by Cobra. Like you knew it was going to happen. Like, let's face it, it's episode
they're
one.
Have amazing abs in like 2 weeks.
Yep.
This is how Cobra Commander got that great ass.
I mean, I would buy it. I would, if he was selling it, I would buy it.
So now, okay, this is our introduction to Zartan and the Dreadnoks. And I would say, as introductions go, this one's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it actually makes me realize how crappy the rest of his appearances have been. Because in this one, they really show you what his powers are.
Yes. Right.
Glowing for no good reason.
Glowing for no reason, making a woobly-woobly sound.
I love it when he gets mad and his armor like starts glowing red and making like transformer noises. I just think that's awesome.
Do you have lightsaber that noise that his skin makes when his skin goes all woogly?
Get back, you rowdy lot of vagabonds.
It is a lightsaber noise.
That is a lightsaber noise.
It's a lightsaber noise.
His skin makes lightsaber noises.
Mm-hmm.
Correctly.
One weird thing, one of the, I want to say that it's Buzzer, is shooting with what is clearly an automatic pistol, and it comes out lasers. Normally, the rifles and the guns, and they sort of look like guns, but almost guns. Like, okay, cool, that's a laser gun, because it doesn't look like an actual gun. That looked like an actual gun that just shooting fake lasers, and I was a little bit irritated by that. And then they had a laser targeting system. Like, oh, he's going to shoot missiles? Is he going to shoot the... He's shooting water. They have a laser targeting system for shooting water at a fucking
boat. That's for playtime, Chan. That's for playtime when we're in the pool and having a good time.
Oh, shit. If they had that in a toy...
Yes!
Oh, I would have been all over that. Right? They did not.
And my other question is, like, what the fuck is Colonel Sharp even doing there?
I said that. Why are military dudes riding through a bayou?
And it's two. Yep. It's a very important Colonel Sharp and a dude.
This can't possibly be the fastest way to get where they're going.
Take a helicopter.
It's not like they're like, oh, man, budget cutbacks. All right, get in the bayou mobile.
They're literally in the bayou cruiser.
It is crazy.
So, of course, they get captured by Zartan.
As well they should.
Yeah.
Deservedly so.
Correctly again. And Zartan shows his impression skills.
Uh-huh.
They're good here.
More importantly.
He gets it done.
Twice this scene. They go on for a while.
That's excellent.
Is there one when they're talking about gold, lovely, and then they guffaw?
How fun would it be in those recording sessions?
Okay, right before Zartan puts on the mask for the first time, there's there's gold. And one or two of them are like, gold, lovely.
Well, I got to hear that again.
Yeah, what? You have to find
There's
it.
A lot of sound pulls from this section I want, so.
Gold, lovely. Welcome to my domain.
Okay. I love the Dreadnoks. And we also, like, this is, like, everything you need to know about these characters. Like, this is, like... Perfect writing 101 as far as I'm concerned. Because you know exactly who all these people are, what their relationships are, and what you can expect from them.
Yeah. Also, is this the first time we see... I mean, obviously it's the first time we see it since it's the first time we see Zartan. But I can't remember ever seeing him put a mask on.
His toy came with a face that you could put over his face.
No, but I'm saying we always see someone that we don't know who it is. And then he takes the mask off ta-da, it's Zartan. But this is the first time when it's like we see him like going into it. And then him doing the guy's voice.
Yeah, I feel like we've seen it before, but I can't remember when.
I don't know.
You might be completely right. I just like the fact that this is the first time we see the Dreadnoks put in charge of prisoners, and they can't fucking do it. They cannot keep prisoners without trying to kill them within 5 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, everything about this is terrifying to me. They're put in water basically up to their necks in a cage that they cannot escape.
Correct.
In alligator-infested waters.
Well, the cage at least protects them from the alligators.
I mean, I would, like, there's got to be other crap in that water. So, like, you're, oh,
water
God.
Water moccasins.
No, it was, kind of, it was upsetting because I thought they were going to drown them.
I mean, everything about it is upsetting. If I was in there, I'd be like, I don't know how I want to die. Like, there's so many ways that I could die right now. I don't know how. I might get shot. I might drown. I might get bit by something.
Oh, yeah. There's eels in there. Well, we cut back to Destro and Storm Shadow. This sequence is so goddamn impressive. He just says, Storm Shadow, raise the temple.
And it's a dope-ass temple.
Which is great. But that lever is the size of a human being, and that is just too big.
Exactly.
Too big.
If you're raising up a temple that big, You need a lot of lever power.
I mean, it's not like it's a manual thing. Like,
I think it's. I think it's a pushing on. I think it's like a. It's a lever that's actually like as he pulls it down, it pulls up the.
The thing that kills me. This temple's the size of a stadium. Okay, mm-hmm. It's big. It's yep. under the. It's under the dust. It's under the dirt of mm-hmm. the desert or the sand. Well, do they like? They don't warn people they're raising the temple. In theory, there are many people inside this facility yeah. who suddenly, whoa! And I just pictured a guy trying to eat a bowl of Cheerios. And
what
then
if there's just
the
like one guy
rises.
That's walk like went for like a daytime hike and he's on top of the temple and he's just like, oh my god, how do I get up here?
I would love that.
He like accidentally crossed the border into Cobra territory and now he's gonna something terrible is gonna happen to him.
Now he's on top of the temple. Yeah.
Let them come.
I'm so glad because I was going to ask you to pull that because it was so fantastic.
Yeah, Destro gets to be a pretty big badass here.
I love Destro. Looks he's more ripped than I remember him being before.
Really?
Like when he's sitting in the
maybe
cockpit,
you just matured since last time and noticed those things.
Oh, wait, you Gina? Notice muscle definition as you mature.
Yeah, like if you're a little kid, you're not gonna all like be like you weren't looking at boobs when you were four and being like those are some nice titties. But at some point, you're like, yeah, them titties. So like if you're a chick, it's like you're not 8 years old and thinking like, God, that guy's got a nice biceps, nice chest, nice stomach. But at some point, you're gonna be like, oh man, I could wash something on those abs.
So just to be clear, in the last week.
Yeah.
I've not only become a chick, I've matured.
Yes.
Okay.
You are a fine, mature woman now, Ray. Welcome.
Welcome. Did I join the club with you? What are we talking about right now?
For God's sakes, the only thing I want to do right now is to get done with this goddamn show so I can go watch Glow. So you tell me.
I thank you for welcoming me to the club. So we cut back to Blackwater Prison, and we meet Dr. Casales. And was there ever a question she was the Baroness?
To be fair, like, this is probably the first time we've seen. Is this, wait, did she do it last time?
I don't
time?
Remember.
Oh, she did. I think okay. She was someone who was like looking at the facility. And
feel like during okay. Mass Device. How yeah. long has it been since we've
yeah,
seen
yeah.
it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It was that was what it was. She was like a someone checking off things, being like, oh, this isn't run properly.
Right.
Because she puts the device on the mask
yes.
and the when
yes.
they steal.
So this is the yeah. only the second time though we've seen it.
Right.
Eventually we will come to know that like
every
oh
time.
There's a woman there. Obviously she's the Baroness.
That was why the episode where she's a dude is so impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'll never forget Arnold, man.
Yeah.
And I just appreciate that they're taking Cobra Commander to Blackwater, like, military prison mm-hmm. in the middle of the bayou.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they let him wear not only his face paint or his face plate, but
yeah.
his entire outfit. Like, he's not in an orange
them
jumpsuit.
Sweet ass lapels, man.
Just,
I'm telling you.
Yeah, this yeah. is, it's your one outfit. You got to wear it. Like, I don't know. It doesn't come off.
There are so many laughs in this episode.
So many.
So many that the Joes get one. Mm-hmm. We're not there yet. The Joes have a maniacal laugh.
I just like that she says.
I feel like it's filler.
Oh, I love it. Filler. I just appreciate that she comes in and Dr. Casale's thing is like, he needs to learn a skill. We're teaching him basket weaving.
Love it. Love it.
What?
But then, of course, it's got a cobra in it.
Of course it does.
It works on multiple levels. Like, legit, that's mm-hmm. a fun joke.
Yes.
At some point, someone says, I'm going to bench press your face.
That's gung-ho.
That happens later, yeah.
That's gung-ho.
And that just doesn't track to me.
No, it
that's
does
not.
Not
how it works.
It's
gung-ho.
Like,
yeah, the easiest thing, the bench press. I'm going to bench press your 3-pound face.
This is a particular thing that I have a problem with. It shows up sometimes in rap lyrics. Like, there's a lyric that's like, I'm going to hit your ass in the face with a lead pipe or something like that. Like saying like I'm going to hit you in the face with a lead pipe,
uh-huh.
but using that thing like I'm going to beat your ass.
Yeah.
And then just sort of like mush it together so mm-hmm. it doesn't make sense. You use the metonymy of ass for the whole person and then it just gets to be a fucking mess.
Yeah, I disliked it enough to make a note of it.
Yeah.
Also, why don't they leave those disguises on while they're in there?
This is my major issue with this plan is they give up the game way too quick.
I don't know.
And
why don't you take off your pants when you go home? you're fucking comfortable, and I'm just going to let it all hang out.
Listen, I don't take them off. I'm not a monster that the second I get in the door, I'm stripping down.
Oh, I am. I am a monster.
If I told my wife that, she would punch you. You would get into active fistic hostilities.
Once
the door closes, pants off, it's go time.
I've often not made it through the door before the pants are off.
I've spent up until like nighttime. I'll often spend in my clothes sometimes.
When I was younger, I would wear jeans like around the house.
Yeah.
And now I don't know what the fuck is wrong with me. Like, I just, like, if it's not basketball shorts, I don't know what I'm doing at this
point.
What
if you're like expecting a package and someone knocks on your door?
Then I open the package with shorts on.
Yeah.
What do I care if the UPS guy judges me?
Yep.
All right.
Well, it works for you.
Here, my compromise is that I just wear jean shorts all the time now.
I mean, here's the thing. I will occasionally go home and get into pajamas, but it's not an everyday thing.
Look at Gina, a little Miss Fancy.
No,
every once in a while, I'll let down my hair. but no, I like to be uptight. I wear a corset on a regular basis. I like to have a thin,
petite-looking waist for my cat.
I come home from work and change out of my jeans and T-shirt and put on a ball gown.
Jeans and T-shirts are already pretty comfortable, you guys.
No,
it's not like you're
not
wearing three-piece suits.
I live in the future. I don't gotta wear that shit. I will wear tearaway stripper pants if I could get away with it.
Yeah,
and walk
you're
through
right.
the door, and I'm out. Like,
yeah.
I'm about to
I've
go
worn,
into the
I've
third
worn
quarter.
I've worn leggings to work before and gym clothes to work before, so.
Yeah. So to Chan's original point, though.
Gina's original point before Chan co-opted it.
Here's the deal.
It's man's world.
Guys, I feel really bad that just happened.
You should.
I do. Because that's not the eighth time I've done that to you. anyway, to Chan's point. No, because all they had to do is... You know, we're doing a prisoner transfer, get in this helicopter, fly away. No, they immediately rip their thing off and run past all the guards who are shooting
at
them.
Yeah, just
didn't have to do that.
Just do a thing where you're like, we're transferring the prisoner. We're transferring the prisoner.
Yeah. Like, that's a thing that happens.
Yeah.
It's not weird.
It's like they want to make it difficult on themselves.
Yeah, because you're Cobra. You're not just like ordinary Joe criminals. Like, I'm busting out. I got a file. I'm going to start gnawing away at this grate. And then, like, in 400 years, I'm going to be free. They're like, fuck y'all. Fingers up.
But I feel like it would be even better if they, like, if they slowly escorted the prisoner out and were, like, giving everyone orders. And then right as they were about to get out the door, they turn back and they go, by the way, we're totally fucking Cobra. And then they rip their masks off and they're like, you motherfuckers. And do it like right as you're out the door. You know, it's like when you're about to flip off a driver that's like next to you or like yell something at them. You don't want to do it when you're stopped in traffic.
Oh, yes, you do.
No.
No, that's how you get shot.
Yeah.
You can run away just like at the very last, like pull a quick bird at them, like flip them off. And like, or as you could drive right up alongside them. You could pull down your pants and do a pressed ham and just leave it there.
What?
Just leave
no,
it there.
No, that's just awkward and uncomfortable.
How flexible are you, Chan? You can go from the driver's seat to the pressed ham?
Listen.
At a red light?
I can put my I can touch my elbows behind
Guys,
my back.
Guys, we are doing
Ain't no
this
thing.
After it's over.
God, somebody's going to... No, here's what happens is that...
I haven't done it in a long time.
Ray and I are like trying to pull your... like. Elbows together behind you.
You will
Someone
not.
Sees from like across the way through a window, rear window style or body heat style.
Jimmy
like,
Stewart.
They're murdering
this.
That woman. Call the police. And you know what? They're not going to shoot Ray. They're not going to shoot you, Gina. They're going to shoot me.
You look Asian. They're not going to shoot you.
The fuck they won't.
Wait, which one's the brownest?
That's how
Bam!
I feel like ladies with Kat Mombazo is the one getting shot in this apartment.
What? Like she is disappearing as soon as this business starts.
It's true.
We walk out and like, okay, let's do this thing. Like some weird shit's happening. I'm leaving.
Can I say I legitimately howled with laughter during the next segment when Cobra Commander is on Zartan's speeder.
Yes.
And there's a point where Cobra Commander starts like lurching like Gollum, like above his shoulders. And in my brain, I'm just like, dude, why are you're getting pretty high off the, are you sure you wanna? And he takes a branch.
Smack.
Square in the face, turns his helmet sideways, Eli Manning style. It was amazing.
Here's the thing. Yep. This whole scene to me was like one giant scene right after the meet cute in a romantic comedy, where it's like, oh, you accidentally like splash a woman and she's like walking home from the subway and you're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And she's like, it's okay. It's not like I have to ride the subway for the next. He's like, let me give you a ride home. It's the least I can do. But he only has a motorcycle.
Uh-huh.
And so then it's like her with her arms around his waist. And she's like really awkward because she's the uptight bitch. And he's like the guy that rides a motorcycle. This is that scene in that movie.
I mean, we've already had the meet cute was when he fell into Gung Ho's arms at the beginning.
Great.
Then we introduce
this is the
Colin Firth character who's driving him through the swamp. And then we have to decide.
Could I get a sound poll?
Gung Ho Grant.
I feel like Gung Ho is the call. I feel like anyone riding a cruiser is the cool one.
I really think like Gung Ho is the Craig Kilborn character you're hoping she doesn't end up with.
No, yeah. No, I feel like Zartan's the one you hope she doesn't end up with.
Oh no, Zartan's the bad boy.
Here's the thing,
that's what I'm saying. You never want them to end up with the bad boy.
They're all terrible. There are no winners in this
one. He can do all right with Gung Ho.
Gung Ho's a caring lover, I will say.
Yeah. He's a caring lover.
All he wants to do, his number one thing is he wants to punch Cobra Commander in the face. So there's no way.
Could you pull the sound pull? Because I swear to God, Zartan breaks during this line read and they left it in. And it made me, all of Zartan's lines during this, I feel like he's on the verge of losing his shit and cracking up. And they left it in. I swear to God, listen and you tell me if I'm wrong, but I think this is a legitimate outtake they left in.
Great escapes require great risks, Cobra Commander. Hang on.
Oh, shit.
Am I wrong? Because I went back and listened to it like three times.
Oh, wow.
Can we hear that one more time? Because
I think you're right.
Because I think it's a legitimate break.
Great escapes require great risks, Cobra Commander. Hang on.
No, he did that on purpose.
Do you think so? Because that felt too real to me.
What is...
Because he's the voice actor knows that it's funny that Cobra Commander gets hit in the face with a branch.
He eats shit in that moment. I loved it.
Yeah, like and I think the director was probably like, although I would have loved it if it was like a Rick and Morty moment, because
that's what it felt like. That's exactly what it felt like to me.
But I don't think it is.
Fair enough.
Well, they end up getting away, and they use gas. And when they shot the gas, weren't you worried? Like G.I. Joe was like knockout gas, like the gas they literally just used.
It's a fucking smokescreen.
It's a smokescreen, but it looks like pink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we're in the swamp.
Is that how gas works in the swamp, Chan?
Yes, obviously. Marsh gas. Have you ever heard of it? God damn it. Stay. Keep up, Ray.
Then I apologize and we'll move on.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
He'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe.
Cobra's attacking our winter outpost. Call on the members of the G.I. Joe team.
And here's Gung-Ho, Airborne, Doc, and Snowjob. And every Joe has a two-handed battle grip.
Get aboard the Battle Bear. It's G.I. Joe to the rescue.
G.I. Joe. American hero.
We chased off Cobra. Way to go, Joe.
G.I. Joe Battle Bear. Joe and Cobra figures each sold separately from Hasbro.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Okay, we use the Weather Dominator for the first time right
yep.
now. Major Blood is G, and he's talking about the Pit of Chaos.
Sure.
And so Destro cranks up the Weather Dominator. All the Flint is leading the Joe team, flying the Sky Strikers. Yes, Gina?
Why is he only concerned about Lady J in this moment?
Well, they're banging.
Flint? No.
Oh, Scarlet. No.
No, Scarlet.
It was Scarlet,
yeah,
wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's Scarlet.
Scarlet, get out of here! Run!
there are other people flying, and she is the only one that he's like, get out of here, Scarlet. Men, I don't care about you. You all know you're going to die. We're men. Okay. It's what we do. But vagina, get your vagina to safety. The human race can't go on if your vagina's unsafe.
Oh, wish he had said, get your vagina to safety.
Get your vagina to safety.
But as
I want the t-shirt made. You guys, we got a cafe press that shit. Get your vagina to safety is the new theme of the entire show.
I would ask Steve Bolton to make us a meme, but I feel like that might be a little lowbrow for
him. I feel like before you even said those words just now, the meme was already done.
It's just, it just pops up. It's like, I sense a meme being created.
Guys, I don't know why, but I felt this urge to make a Scarlet meme that said, get your vagina to safety.
What happens is it turns out that, like, she's the next in command. So he's like, okay. So when he says, Scarlet, get out, he's like, your next command, pull your team out. Because it does say, pull back with your squadron. So.
That holds up.
Okay. All right.
It's sketchy, but it holds up.
Yeah.
He legitimately does say,
Scarlet, pull back with your squadron and keep us in sight.
Yeah. So he didn't just say that.
Okay.
He's not going like, Scarlet, Ripcord, Tailpipe, Dick Cheese, Palo Alto. You, all four of you, fucking
all right,
take
I'm
off.
Glad it had a legitimate reason beyond just like, oh, the girl needs to go. Or beyond like, oh, God, if she dies in this storm, they're going to perform an autopsy and find her stomach is full of my semen.
Oh, Jesus.
That
happens.
I don't know that that's a... I don't think that's how semen works.
You guys have clearly never seen the pilot episode of Sons of Anarchy, because that was a huge concern with some dead bodies in that episode.
I actually been meaning to watch that.
You got to watch it.
Yeah.
Stomach's full of cum.
Well, if that doesn't sell it, I don't know what will.
Steve?
God damn it.
Stomach's
poor
full
Steve.
Of cum.
He's just he's at his computer crying. I don't want to make any more memes.
He's probably still mad last week after he looked up Destro penis on the Google. Don't do that
we're
again.
We're going to destroy him. We're going to break the poor man.
We got the whole weather dominator. We power it up. We shoot it off and create this huge ass storm. All of that to take down three goddamn planes? For reals?
It was a test.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Look, if I had a sweet ass thing that did all that stuff, I'd totally do it. It's like when you go to the mall and you buy like 8 new outfits and you're like, tonight I'm wearing 8 outfits.
No. This is like, I got a Maserati. Also, I want to go to 7-Eleven. You know how close to 7-Eleven is here. It's like half a block away. Like, hold on.
That's exactly what it is.
I would totally do that.
I don't understand why you're saying that's weird. this is where Duke and Snake Eyes get off the plane from being captured, and they fight like a whole bunch of red shirts.
I mean,
and lose.
A whole bunch. It's like 2-on-8, like I said. So it's 4-1. I feel like they should be able to take them.
You think so? That's a lot of dudes who coming at it. They're not doing it Bruce Lee style,
honestly,
one at a time. They're coming at them all at once.
Know.
I feel like they're in Cobra Temple, so I feel like it's kind of like they can't get out anyway.
I wanted to see a better fight than that.
I don't know. I thought they did pretty good, all things considered.
No, yeah, I mean, like, they last like barely seconds.
2-on-8 seems like reasonable odds to be taken down.
I mean, maybe eventually they would be taken down, but you're telling me that these blue guys that just got here, do you guys think the three of us and one more person could take down Duke? I don't think so.
Oh, no. But we're also not trained Cobra, so in theory, they know how to fight and they're in shape.
I mean...
I will not say the same about the three of us.
Yeah, neither of us can touch our hands behind our back, which is our elbows, I don't think. That we're taking down anybody.
I could probably do that. Oh, how are my boobs?
You're going to be sore tomorrow, right?
Oh, my moobs. They hurt so bad. Okay, so Chan, I have this is my science question here. If you have a sound poll for me of Destro explaining what the Weather Dominator is, because it's really long, and there's a lot of technical jargon, and I'm hoping you can decipher it for me.
I think it's that there's a Weather Dominator and a Weather Submissive, and the Weather Dominator tells the Weather Submissive what to do.
Yeah.
So you're saying that Mother Nature is the sub in this relationship?
Yeah, that checks out.
Dominator, to the water vapor controlling mechanisms of the Hydro Master.
water vapor controlling mechanisms of the Hydro Master.
Okay, I'm on board so far.
Yeah, you like making clouds and shit like that.
Okay. The Hydro Master is the master of everything, and he brings out the GIMP.
I always thought the Hydro Master was the aquatic equivalent of the laser core for your abs. Mm-hmm.
I would do a Hydro Master workout.
And the electromagnetic energizing capabilities of the ion correlator.
I don't know how this dude read this with a straight face.
Like, this is a lot of this is a mouthful.
Yeah, these are words that are getting strung together that barely make sense. There's no correlating ions, but I could see how, like, you would use some sort of electromagnetic generator to generate ions that would then, you know, for example, in a cloud, you could sort of generate static electricity that would, you know, turn to rain or thunder, lightning, that sort of thing.
But we're not done with the explanation yet.
No, not by a long shot.
I now add the unlimited power of the laser core. Its strength will enable me to dominate the weather any place on Earth.
That is the longest line in the history of television.
Checks out.
Whatever Arthur Burghardt got paid for this, he earned.
He probably went home to his wife at the end of that workday and was like, oh, my God, you will not believe the bullshit I am reading for this show.
It's not like this is the first time that this has been a thing. Like in Star Trek, it had been around for 20 years already. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is what we do.
This is
Don't worry about it.
I also like that Destro says, Major Blood's like, shouldn't we get Cobra Commander out of prison? He's just like, nope.
Meh, we'll get to it.
Is there a Greek Colosseum that gets hit by a wave in this montage
of Parthenon.
Things?
The Parthenon gets hit, and it's amazing.
Which is on the coast, as we all know. Just right there on the beach. It's just chilling.
And I was like, what's being weathered here?
What I love, and this is, I think, my favorite concept of this entire episode, is that Destro, in theory, just got to the temple, got in his weather dominator seat, shot down Flint, the people who were chasing him, and Cobra Commander has already been rescued and shows up 5 minutes later. There is very little time between Destro showing up straight from the heist to Cobra Commander being shipped to Louisiana, put in prison, broken out of prison, eating shit in the bayou, and flying back to the Cobra Temple. That happens in roughly only 5 more minutes.
Yeah, you know why? Cobra's fucking good at losing tails. There's like circling around and zooming around, going down Algeria, coming back, flying across the Atlantic.
I want to know how Destro had the forethought. So Duke and the others are sort of lost in this crack at this point. No, not Duke. Flint and the others are lost in this crack.
Flint, which, Mutt.
By the way, not happy that Junkyard is down there.
Why is the dog? The dog's in the helicopter, and I made a note of that at the beginning too. I'm like, that's not a place to put a dog.
That's perfectly normal for this show, sir. I don't know what you're talking about.
At least he should get like a little baby carrier like on his front for the dog.
Wow, do you think the Junkyard would get into that?
I think he would if it was like, hey, you might be in danger. Get into my baby carrier.
Are you literally talking about like the thing from The Hangover? And
yeah,
you have Junkyard hanging
from
his
Bjorn?
Yeah,
why
but
would
for
you?
Dogs. They have those for cats.
And cats love them, can I just mention?
I think that if you had like a little hammock thing on your chest, Timo would love it.
Yes, he would.
Yeah,
he already rides my shoulders all the time.
But I'm just saying, when did Destro have the presence of mind to be like, ooh, you know what I should do? On the off chance that someone falls in that crack, I should seed it with a bunch of this crazy, crazy killer vine plant in case someone falls in there right before it rains.
Well, you can control that. Yeah.
Okay.
This was all testing stuff.
Yeah.
Because not only were they testing the Weather Dominator, they were testing this new creeper vine that he was fucking around with Cobra Commander with.
I feel like if you have a Weather Dominator, you don't need creeper vines.
Look, it's a MacGuffin for next episode that G.I. Joe has to overcome. I don't know what to tell you.
It's not it's not that you need giant mutant creeper vines. It's that you can make giant creeper
vines.
Well,
then I want a third thing in there. Rule of three. I want there to be some weird gas that they trip that like smells like rotten eggs or something. So it's like
vines. Didn't they shoot that in the prison? Oh, you mean the creeper vines shoot them
out. Like I want there to be creeper vines in the pit and something else in the pit. Like, they also released a zombie or something.
It's a zombie. Welcome back to Walking Dead. they do call it the Pit of Chaos. So,
yeah,
I mean, you got to put some fucking
some
creeper vines. You got to put some creeper vines in there. That's what you make
I
chaos
want other
out of.
Chaos, too. I want
other
things
chaos?
Of chaos.
How about this? That was the Joes.
Yeah.
That was the Joes with a deep, uncomfortable laugh.
Yeah, Cobra Commander comes on the TV broadcast. I mean, like, I guess when I was a kid, I expected that supervillains pirating TV airwaves to make threats would be a thing I'd be dealing with a lot more than I have in life, for sure.
Yeah. It's really hard when you've got so many cable channels these days. You know, you don't know which ones to take over.
You're like, oh, I got to take over all of Sling? Mm-hmm. Ugh.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, like, people are watching Walking Dead. You don't want to interrupt that. That's rude.
It's rude. Yeah, and then it's Breaker of all people. Breaker does the line about a garbage detector.
Mm-hmm.
And then G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe, I just wrote here, G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe does, it feels wrong when they do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a good look on a good guy.
No. Mm-hmm. But G.I. Joe, actually, I feel like if we went back, G.I. Joe, like, does a lot of laughing at their
it
own
is,
jokes
well,
a lot.
Well, at the ends of episodes a lot,
yeah,
they do it. That's
probably
the
true.
Ends.
But it tends to be a little bit more of like, ha-ha, we won, hooray. It's more of a joyous laughter. That's more like a...
that's a Mean Girls laugh.
That's true.
Yeah.
Really that's true. Mm-hmm. They're trying it on for size, and it doesn't fit them.
Does not fit. So my whole thing here, Flint, Mutt, Roadblock, Junkyard are in the pit. Mm-hmm. There's no tornado.
Yep.
Every weather's fine. Nobody went to go get them. Nobody thought to look in the pit. Who's left? Well, Scarlet is left, and the rest of the team. Like, there are many Joes
she
left.
She probably
over.
Thinks they crashed and died.
So we're just
also,
like,
we have
them behind.
Established in many episodes that they are very quick to leave people behind.
Oh, yeah. You know,
like, they're just like, ugh, that guy's dead.
Lady J! Move
She's
on.
Dead. Yeah. Snake Eyes. Oh, God. So much radiation. Well, all right.
This is my favorite part of this whole segment, though.
Can anybody.
Why are you calling a dog?
Why are you calling the goddamn dog? A dog would bark.
I thought this. Here's the deal. I thought what you thought, and then I thought what you thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Like, seriously, I do you not ever call your cats?
No.
I do
Ray?
All the time.
They don't
I
come.
Constantly
no,
do.
They don't. What? They don't do anything, but
oh,
I will
no.
call out
I
to
I constantly
them.
Do. When I'm in bed, I go, Merlin, I'm in bed. And then he comes in the room and gets on the bed.
That's weird.
Or like I'm on the couch and I'll be like, Merlin, until he comes.
We just got to look into Gina's home life.
He knows his name.
I'm just saying that, like, we need to get out. We need to escape this pit of chaos. Who are the people that will be able to help me out with this? Roadblock, Mutt. I guess a fucking dog?
No, if the dog is still alive, the dog would be the one that would hear because the dog has the best ears.
But also Junkyard could be with one of the other dudes, like, tending to his wounds.
To be honest, I'm bummed that wasn't the first name he called out because that would be the first name I called out.
That'd be the only name you called out.
Yeah, exactly.
Junkyard. Merlin.
Junk
Merlin. I'm on the couch.
Merlin, I'm in the pit of chaos.
Merlin.
And then Merlin would come.
Like, in the rain, please.
Listen, if the pit of chaos was inside my living room, Merlin would come to it.
I have been told that some people call your house the pit of chaos.
That's also what they call my vagina.
Oh, dear Lord. That was
there
my original joke.
There it is.
And I was like, not going to do that. That's inappropriate.
You can't make that joke. Gina can and will all day.
There we go.
Yeah.
The pit of despair.
Oh, Jesus. Moving forward, so let's talk about the creeper vines for a sec here, because Cobra Commander rightfully is like, why do you have jars of what look like turds in your basement, Destro? That serial killer stuff.
What would happen
weird.
If you ate one, do you think? You would instantly be torn apart, right?
I mean, it's not water. Acid. I don't know if there's real water in there.
I think it would be, I think it would
body
digest
moisture.
It.
Like, as it goes down your mouth, it's going to absorb some mouth moisture.
Mouth moisture?
Possibly, yeah.
I think it would start to grow.
I love this line from Chris Latta.
Like poison ivy.
Poison ivy. Mm-hmm.
He's pissed.
So
but also,
annoyed.
He's got gloves on.
Also, was Zartan breaking in that line too? Like, I swear to God, half of his dialogue now I'm listening to being like, was he just not able to keep his shit together this entire recording session and they just had to use what they could?
He was the only one that was like, hey, this is bullshit, you guys.
This is
right?
Fucking ridiculous.
Right? Am I the only one that... This is hilarious.
All right.
I'll read this.
Cobra Commander.
Poison Ivy?
Because I love that. And Destro's a fucking dick. He didn't need to attack both of them.
Absolutely
with the
not.
I love it.
Not
but
at all.
Yep.
Again,
but he does.
In a character moment, mm-hmm. we see exactly who Destro is in that moment.
Also, I feel like this could have definitely gone wrong, and it could have killed them.
Easily.
Yeah. Because all it needed to do was put a little bit more pressure on his throat. Zartan's clearly being strangled.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's strangling me. And he's like, don't worry. It'll run out of water eventually. But I would have loved it if all of a sudden you just hear, and then it ran out of water. And he was like, oh, I miscalculated badly.
Yo, he's got a hairdryer right next to it. He's like, oh, that's a little too far.
And I just appreciate that none of them thought to, like, you know, cut them.
I mean, their hands get pinned pretty fast.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, Cobra Commander's being, like, pinned by the hood. Like, it was a little terrifying.
This scene straight up gave me anxiety.
Ooh, okay.
From, like, I was claustrophobic watching this scene.
Nice. Well, then it accomplished its duty.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then immediately, like, we've seen what can happen but didn't. So now we cut to Flint in the final scene of the episode. The vines start growing, like, and it's raining, so it's not like they're going to run out of water.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Flint. And then Flint gets choked out by this thing like 8 times.
Yeah.
He's constantly cutting it off and having it wrap around his throat and yank him backwards. Like,
yeah.
Like I swear to God, it happens over and over and over again. I feel bad for his larynx.
Yeah, he's going to have some wonky, messed up throat.
He's not going to be able to hit the high notes for a while.
Turtlenecks for a while.
Turtlenecks. Lady Jacob's back is like, did you get a hickey, Flint? What the fuck? And that is the end of episode 1 of the Revenge of Cobra, Into the Cobra's Pit. I loved it. Like, this is everything I remember and more.
Yeah, this is pretty good.
It was solid.
Yeah.
Like I, you know, you guys maybe not don't know this about me. I love G.I. Joe.
What?
I don't know if you guys...
Weird.
Strange. I don't know if you've seen that or come to that conclusion. The Mass Device movie was amazing, way better than I remember it. And this already is off to a hot start, especially because we haven't even gotten to the hockey scene yet.
Spoiler.
The psych hockey scene?
They play psych hockey, you will only understand that reference if you're on our Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
Patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. We just did an episode of Galaxy High. For the Patreon that just went up or is about to go up. It's going up soon is what I'm saying. So if you'd like to, go to patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. And, you know, for a couple bucks a month, you can enjoy the whole feed and all the bonus episodes and extra content from us. Exciting stuff. In addition, we can also talk about facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. Go there. Give us a like. You can go to Twitter. You can go at Prez Serpentor if you'd like to see the alternate 2017 when Serpentor actually won the Republican nomination for president.
I feel like Serpentor is in trouble these days.
You know, he's feeling good about himself. He just tweeted out that in a Rasmussen poll of his own family, he hit a 50% approval rating,
wow.
which is the highest it's ever been.
I feel like he's trying to pass that Cobra healthcare bill. And
Serpentor care,
not,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the American Cobra healthcare bill.
Well, that's the official title. You know, the nickname is Serpentor Care.
Yeah.
It actually does not leave very many people covered at all, it turns out.
I know.
Out.
I don't think he has the support within the ranks of Cobra for it to pass. So I feel like he's going to have a bad week.
I feel like Scrap Iron is the swing vote, and I don't know if he has it.
The Crimson Guard have been pretty loyal.
It's a true point.
They may
that's
be
true.
Able to.
That's true.
Hold
you can also check us out on Twitter at G.I. Joe Podcast. That's the official thing. Guys, do you have any things coming up you want to plug before we get out of here today?
When is this airing?
This is airing on Monday.
Then no.
Okay. I'd like to just say, I believe my episode of Skeeterial is going up on Monday.
Oh, wait. Happy 4th of July?
No, not yet, Gina.
Nope.
So we got a week for that.
Oh, yeah.
No, because
but you know
you
what?
Specifically when it... told us we could not record on Friday because you were making Jello shots.
Oh, yeah, next Friday. Yeah.
We're going to figure that out, but we will, whatever.
Guys, do you know how long it takes to make 300 Jello shots? You clearly have never done it.
No, I'm not saying that that's a bad call. I'm saying that you told us that this time that we're recording right now was unacceptable.
Guys, I make a lot of red, white, and blue Jello shots for 4th of July.
And none of us are disputing its importance. No, I'd like to just point that out there as well. I would say I believe that the episode of Skeeterial with me and Brent Pope of the Raisin Brent podcast will be airing the same day that this drops. So if you feel like checking out Skeeterial, the Muppet Babies cereal style podcast where they take a serious look at what happened to Skeeter from the Muppet Babies, I'll be on that. So check that out.
Wait a minute. Did we? Are we?
I believe you guys have the episode afterwards. You guys have the following
week. Right.
What?
Right.
The week.
You got July 3rd.
Oh.
No. Yeah. We swapped it around. Order. Don't worry about it.
Got it.
Maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, here's the deal. If it's not my episode, it's Gina and Chan's episode.
It's going to be someone's episode.
It's going to be awesome. So look for that. And guys, anything else to plug?
No.
Nah. Okay.
So there we go. So individually on Twitter, you can hit me up. I am at Almighty Ray.
I'm at 999 RPMs.
I'm at Gina Ippy.
And thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back next week with more hot G.I. Joe action.
Hot.
Oh.
Until then, stay greachy.
They won't get that, Ray.
Oh, it's a Patreon thing. Bye.
Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win," or "I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it, and we do it all over breakfast, or should I say Breakfast. Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.